It's that time again. Time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com in the Tampa Bay area. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and very excited to be right here back in this chair after having missed a Sunday out in Texas where they are having the rains. Please, let's all continue to pray about all of that. My kids are kind of on the outer band of all of that going on in the Austin area. So been there and enjoyed almost 2 weeks getting to know my precious brand new grandson, Joel Chase. And wow, what a great time. So back in this chair, and always, as always, love to be here. We're looking forward to a great show today, powerful show. It's just so cool to be able to be on the air week after week. We're in our 11th year every single Sunday on this station right here. And just a joy to be able to bring the Word of God to you week after week and to bring great contemporary Christian music that just blesses you. And lively chat today with two of our radio team members, one from right here from our church locally, Nan Watson. And the other one will be calling in soon, and that's Betty Thomas from my church that I pastored in Indiana for those years long ago. And that will be Betty. And so we are excited about the show today and what God's going to do. We never know what he's going to do, and we always wait with anticipation to see how the Spirit of the living God is going to move in our lives and on our shows. And so I've really missed being in this chair. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, took over and hosted last Sunday along with Angel and Megan, and thanks to them. And so today I'm right back here in the control room sitting in this chair with my hands on the buttons here. And Nan, that's pretty cool. And you are in there in the studio, and Betty will be calling in shortly. So it's really good to be able to week after week bring you the Word of God. And there is Betty, I believe. So let's check that out and see if we've got her here. All right. Do we have you, Betty?
Yes, it's me, BLT.
BLT, yes. All right. Welcome. Hey, it's good to hear your voice. You've been traveling. I've been traveling. And it's been a while since we've really chatted. With so much going on the last 2 weeks with our families, your family and my family. And getting your family settled up in Michigan, Megan and Ben and the kids, has been fun for you, I know. And and everybody is good and okay and likes Michigan?
Yeah, in fact, where they're at is a bustling metropolis. It's they have a lot of things to explore, a lot of things to do.
Okay.
Before the 71 inches of snow hits them this winter.
How many? How many?
Well, they said we did a Google search on how much snow that particular geographical area receives, and it's typically 71 inches of snow.
That's horrible. I'll take.
Yeah,
my...
they got a really nice hill to slide down. So it.
Oh, well, that's nice. Okay, well, at least you got that. I'll tell you, I would so much rather be right here in Clearwater, Florida. So,
I know.
Being born in Indiana, though, I mean, it's not. I don't hate it. I like visiting my kids when I go up. It's not like I hate it by any means, but it's just easier to wear shorts all year long, I guess, and t-shirts than it is to wear winter coats and boots.
I'll agree with you on that one.
There you go. Right. So. We're excited today. Nan, how are you? Talk to us.
I'm doing fantastic. Enjoying the weather, actually. You caught me outside when you came up.
Yeah.
And I had acquired some French fries from the restaurant behind the radio station.
You know where she goes, Betty, back there to that restaurant to get her French fries when she's here.
I love it. It was a beautiful non-snowy day out there.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a beautiful fall day here, even though it's still summer. I mean, we are enjoying this weather immensely and praying for the people in Texas.
Right. Amen.
Well, pray for my own kids, where I've just been for almost 2 weeks, Mark and Candy and little baby Joel and the doggies. They're on the outer bands of those rain things, and they've been having rain since for about 2 days now, solid. And they say it lets up a little bit, but they have a pond right behind their home, and then they have a path and a soccer field, and the Blanco River is right there. So there is cause to be concerned for them, and we're believing that pond is not going to rise up above and into their property. So that's a specific prayer we're asking everybody agree to pray about that. So, but the rain continues today out there. So that's where we are, and we're going to start with prayer. Lord, we thank you and praise you for a great day, a great show. We thank you for this opportunity to be on the air. We love it. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided this avenue of ministry week after week for these 11 years. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to show yourself powerful and great in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for what's going to be taught today. We thank you, Lord, for what we're going to learn today. We thank you, Lord, for the great music that's going to bless us and inspire us. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. And it is amazing and wonderful. And we shout your praises today as we begin this show. We shout your praises and we count it all joy, no matter what it is that we are going through. Count it all joy in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, Betty, why don't we start with the song you picked out today?
Sounds like a plan. I tell you what, it's a toe-tapping, Bible-believing, it's time for revival.
It's called Old Church Choir by Zach Williams. And it's all about counting it all joy. And I love that. That's what it's about in our Christian lives.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah. And it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
There ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Let me ask you, Betty, do you got some of that joy going on today? And why do we make such a bold statement as Zach Williams does in that song, Old Church Choir, about nothing's going to steal my joy? Why would we even have a song like that? Talk to us.
Well, I believe that, I've got, that old kid song, I've got the joy
oh, yeah.
down in
the sure. heart.
And that's where it starts. It starts in the heart.
Right.
And the day that you receive God or you receive salvation, that's when the joy begins. And it's something that you never want to lose. You never want the enemy to come and steal your joy. You
right.
don't want anyone to steal that. But you know what, Pastor and Nan, it's something that we have to keep praising God.
Yes,
for.
We do.
We have to remember that, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's so important to maintain that communication and that praise and worship and through prayer to tell the Lord, we've said this before. Today is the day that you have made, Lord. I will rejoice and be glad.
Amen.
It's all throughout Scripture about the promises, about the joy, about
yes.
the things.
Yes.
It's so readily available to us
right.
today.
Amen. And it's a matter of realizing that we can have that kind of joy on a daily basis. And so many people go through life depressed, discouraged, beaten down, and life takes its toll. Talk to us, Nan. It's so important that we realize that God wants us to really be seeking the joy of the Lord, walking in it. It's a daily thing. Right, Nan? It's a daily thing that we have to work on in our lives that we want to have that joy, and we count it all joy no matter what it is we're going through. And we don't allow people or circumstances to steal our joy.
When that song was playing, I thought basically what Betty said, and we can have that joy and we can keep that joy. What comes to mind, I have a family member who is a Christian who does not have the joy of the Lord.
Yeah, that happens.
It happens, and
right.
and it's so sad, to see that, mm-hmm. Knowing that this individual could live at a higher level of having the joy, of having the peace, and it, kind of a really down, almost a depressed situation going on.
Right.
They serve the Lord. I mean, they're a Christian. They accepted Jesus as their Savior a long, long time ago.
Right.
But they're just not living in abundance that God has for us. And I think many people listening don't necessarily realize how much they can have by having the joy of the Lord.
Absolutely. And we do understand that there are things like clinical depression, there are medical conditions and all of that. But barring that it's not a medical condition, so often it's a choice. It's a choice of realizing, here's what I choose today. I choose to believe that Jesus Christ can help me through this day, no matter what I'm going through. And as a result, I will end up at the end of the day having a more joyful day, looking back on the blessings that God has given me. Talk to me about that, Betty, because I think the choice is so right there for so many people. And so many people, like Nan just said, barring the fact that they might be medically depressed, they don't choose that joy of the Lord.
That is so relevant because it seems like the everyday things that we face, whether it be with our families or our jobs, our financial situations, it's those circumstances that come against us that try to interfere with the relationship that we have with Almighty God, because they think that the joy comes when things are going well.
Right.
We can still have that joy, and we can still have that enthusiasm that comes with knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right.
It's holding on to the promises. It's holding on. It's not giving up. It is hard. It is hard sometimes to say, I'm going to throw in the towel, because when I wasn't serving God, I wasn't having all these issues.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
It comes to the point where you realize that God's taking you to a new dimension.
Right.
He's taking you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants your dependency on Him. He wants your trust. He wants your undivided attention, and to depend on Him. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's our choice.
It's our choice.
And I choose joy. I choose joy over depression. I choose joy over sadness, fear,
right,
anxiety. I choose joy, and God goes, all right.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
He's so involved in our lives,
right,
that, you know, he wants his kids to be happy.
Exactly. You know, back in June, I helped my kids, Mark, my youngest, and his wife, Candy, move to San Marcos, Texas, where he now is a professor of law at Texas State University and loving his new job and believing God sent him there and all that. But when we moved in, you know, they had things in boxes everywhere, and we were trying to just make our way through the house and try to start getting beds set up and all that day, etc. So when I was there this past couple weeks for the birth of the baby, well, he was already a couple weeks old when I got there, but I noticed one of their new acquisitions is an amazing black and white, beautiful print in a frame that's just gorgeous, standing there in a very prominent place. I've never seen it before, so it's something new they bought, and it simply says, "Choose joy." That's what it says. And it's one of those pictures that you walk by and you realize, okay, that's meant for me right this minute, you know? And it's a reminder, and I think this is what we're talking about today. I put on Facebook a few minutes ago, we're going to talk about getting our prayers answered. And this is the final radio show on this topic. We're going to start a new topic 2 weeks from today. But this has been a series that we've been doing for 14 weeks now called Precious Promises. And so today we're talking about getting those promises active in our lives, inheriting those promises, or in other words, getting our prayers answered. And so often people don't choose joy because they're not getting the answer that they want when they want it, Nan. They want it when they want it, just like my little grandson Joel wants to eat when he wants to eat. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You've had a child. You know what that's like.
I had a child. I know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And we respond to them.
Right.
That's the way God does in our lives. He responds to us. Now, in a baby situation, you respond immediately when they start because, you know, they can. And there are times that there are promises that we have from God that, you know, we want it now.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily give it to us now, but he gives it to us in his timing, and we grow in faith while we wait for his answer. I mean, the faith level, you know, how can your faith can't grow as much when everything is perfect, picture perfect, you've got everything, you know, you're settled in with everything just perfect for you. Your faith can't grow a whole lot during those kind of seasons in your life, but your faith can grow when you're facing a battle, when you're facing something negative, when you're trusting God for whatever. He will, you know, he will move in his time.
Absolutely. And so often, I really think you're right there. So often we struggle with the timing issue in our Christian lives. And we want things to happen right then, right now, at our timing, don't we, Betty? And we really have a hard time. Like this Jacob that we've been talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're now in Genesis 35, where we're going to conclude today this series. In Genesis 35, at this point, it has been 20 years since Jacob has left his homeland to go in search of his wife in his mother's homeland. 20 years he had to work and struggle and have disappointment and have times of being betrayed and deceived. And when we have anything like, sometimes we go 20 weeks or 20 days and we have a struggle. Talk to me, Betty. It's that patience, you know, that we got to develop.
Well, and that's the endurance. That's the willingness to say, okay, God, you got this. I let it go no matter what it is. May your will be done in this situation. And I know even if you go throughout the Bible, there are times when Moses and Jacob and Isaac, they all had to wait. Job had to wait and wait and wait on God to intervene and take hold. And it's so important that we realize that God is for us, and it's His timing. And we've—I mean, you and I have talked about timing in these last few weeks, more so than we ever have in our decades of knowing each other. God's timing is impeccable.
Exactly.
And if
it really
we wait
is.
On God's timing, things work out. I mean, they're almost
yes
perfect. I mean, there's a situation in my daughter's life, Megan, that, you know, you think right at the last minute, man, this is going to be an over-the-cliff moment. I'm not going to make it. There's a chance that we're not going to have a place to live. We're not going to have this, this, and this. You know, not necessarily the things that they wanted. It was the things that they needed.
Really, that they needed, yeah.
I mean, it was like right at, you know, like at the crack of dawn or the tick of the clock at midnight, the house fell into position. The finances fell into position. I mean, it was just like bam.
Praise God.
Bam, bam. And that was because they trusted and believed in God, saying, okay, God, you got, and that's exactly what she said, God, you got this.
Right.
And let it, and she let
it go. You know, Betty, that's it right there. It's turning it over to God and giving it to Him. And so often we think we have, and maybe we have taken it right back. Talk to us, Nan, because there's times in my own life, I'll say, okay, God, you got this. Here it is. And I find 10 minutes later, I'm sitting there stewing and worrying again. I know that's human nature, but that doesn't mean I'm believing in faith when I've gone right back to my former position of doubt.
I think we all have done that. You know, we on the radio station and all the radio contributors that are on here rotate through. They all have done that from time to
yes.
time. It's just like you say, it's a human nature kind of thing. So, I mean, I want to say, if you do that, don't beat yourself up about
that's
that.
That's right.
Just pick yourself up. Say, okay, I didn't need to do that. I give it back to you, God. You know, when we're trying to fix it, He can't do what He wants to do because we're too busy trying to fix it. We need to leave it just like Megan did. Leave it in God's hands.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Trust Him to move in the situations that we face.
Absolutely. And it's easier said than done. We definitely acknowledge that, don't we, Betty? It's easier to say, oh, just give it to God. So many people go, let it go, let it go. My little twin great-granddaughters, Aaliyah and Briley, are so cute because one of their favorite songs is Let It Go, you know. And they love, you know, from Frozen. Nan's looking at me through the glass like, what? It's a song from Frozen, Nan.
I don't have any small children around me.
Okay.
I don't know these things.
All right. Betty, you know. And you know, they sing it so cute, and they just let it go, you know, these two little four-year-olds singing it. And really, God is saying, honey, let it go, put it in my arms, in my hands, let me deal with it. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, you know, it's like we had an illustration years ago in children's church where, you know, God closes the door, and the kids would still come up and beat on it. They would still come up and beat that door, say, hey, you know, Miss Betty, let us in. We want to come through the door.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked around the corner and I said, but God closed it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should leave it shut because maybe He has a better opening.
Ooh.
And a better way for us to walk through a door. And they all kind of looked at me in amazement. It's like, what?
Right.
What are you talking about? And I said, well, the key to this door is locked. He's not going to let you go through it.
Right.
Now, you can continue to sit there and bang on that door, but maybe you better step aside and see what else He has for you.
Exactly.
Because that door, the next door He has for you, is going to be much greater, much bigger, and it may give you your heart's desire, but it's waiting on that door to open and say, okay, God, you know, you told me to keep knocking, you know, keep listening, you know, the scripture, and that's where we have the patience, the endurance to say, okay, I know it's hard. This is the hardest thing I have ever went through, God. Where are you in
right.
this situation?
Yes.
And I know something I heard on Facebook months ago is that sometimes the teacher is silent.
Oh, yeah.
The test.
Very true.
And it is, even though it's not scriptural, it just resonated with me in a situation that I was going through at that time. And it's like, okay, God, I'm sorry. I've prayed about it. As soon as I get up, probably from prayer, it's like I take it back up and say, okay, now where are we at in this situation? Betty, leave it with me.
Yes.
Give it to me. Let me iron out the wrinkles. It's like a cleaner. Let me iron out the wrinkles. Let me put you in a position where you don't have to struggle anymore.
Amen. Amen. I will tell you both this week and the last 2 weeks, especially the first week I was there in Texas when my daughter-in-law was so ill in the hospital. I was really seeking the Lord, as you do when you're in a really bad situation, a crisis. And, you know, it's so many times we say, God, well, why is this happening? You know, and I really think he wants us to stop asking why. Instead, just praising through it, knowing that he has the answer. And one of the verses that he absolutely hammered me with for several days is Isaiah 55:8. And it's coming back to me right now for this show. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God talking. Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then it goes down to verse 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And when that's Isaiah 55, basically 8 through 11. And when we look at those words that God has given us there in Isaiah, we realize that so often the way we think it should go is not the way God wants it to go, for whatever reason, things he's working out in us. Same with Jacob here, which we're going to talk more about in just a moment. And this would not have been Jacob's plan to leave for his mother's homeland to find a wife and be gone 20 years. I think he probably thought, I'll go over there, find the wife, get right back here and keep on with my life. And it didn't work that way. And so often, dear friends, it doesn't work the way we think it should, because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He sees the big picture, and we are struggling along with the little details right here. Nan?
The struggle, it's very tiring. It's exhausting. It's draining when we try to struggle with those things. We need to learn to let them go. And that is Amen. That is a process. And, you know, some people might say, oh, wow, okay, I let it go and it's done. And some people, that is the case. But in other cases, it's a struggle and a trial to do that. You know,
right.
You give it, like we've already said, you give it up, you take it back. You give
right.
it up, you take it back. You know, you need to hold tight, give it up, give it to God. Trust him. He's going to move in your situation. You have to trust God. And like was said earlier, you know, that's when our faith really grows, is when we trust God in the situation.
You just said the magic word, faith. Five letters. Five is always a number of grace in the Word of God. Faith. Here's a song by the group Cutlass, What Faith Can Do. Perfect intro, and you didn't even know it, Nan.
I didn't even know it.
That's how God does these shows.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes.
Amen.
And make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger than you know. Don't you give up now, the sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard.
Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water. But it'll be alright. Life is so much more than what your eyes are seeing.
I love that song by Cutlass. That's what faith can do. Faith can turn your situation around, dear listener. And yes, we're talking directly to you. You need to hear that God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for you. And God was speaking to me as I was praying about this show earlier this morning, that we really needed to emphasize the personal relationship that God wants each of our listeners to have with Him. It's not enough to know about Him. It's everything to know Him. And we're going to talk more about that during the show. Nan has just got a poem that God's given her during that song, and that's how God does. So let's hear it, Nan.
I see all that you face today. Believe that I am making the way. You're growing so much in me. You're becoming a great beauty. I have the answers for what you face. Through the trials, you have my grace. So offer praises to my name. Things will not remain the same. Believe that I know what's going on. Through it, you will certainly become strong. So what will you do? Will you believe my words are true? Have faith, trusting I'm in control. You will truly become strong.
Ooh, that's good. It's all about faith and trusting that God's got it, right? That's what we've been saying here. Betty, talk to us.
Well, during that song, I love that song, is God led me back to a teaching that you actually did back in October of last year regarding Romans 5, and it says developing patience.
Right.
It's by entering through faith into what God has wanted to do for us. Set us right with Him. Make us fit for Him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already thrown open His door to us.
Amen.
We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise, even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next.
Oh, I love that passage. Romans 5, like 1 through 5 or so, right there.
And yeah, it's probably it's in the Message Bible, and it's hard to say. Probably one through five, yes.
Yeah, in the Message Bible. But I love the way it says that He throws us out into the wide open spaces of His grace and His goodness in our lives. And, you know, it's about developing this faith. And we look at the life of Jacob, how Jacob started out a deceiver, started out causing trouble for his brother, but really his brother started it and all that. And that's other shows past. You can go catch up there. But you see, Jacob hung in there for those 20 years he was in service to his father-in-law. and all of the deceiving that happened from his father-in-law to him, stealing from him and deceiving him and changing his wages 10 times in 20 years. And really each time trying to keep him more dependent on the father-in-law. And Jacob just kept trusting God and doing the right thing and getting God's plan for the problem. And that's what we have to do. Betty, I love those verses. I'm going to ask you to read them one more time in the Message Bible, because I think they are speaking loudly to what we're talking about today on this show. And that is getting answers to our prayers. And it's Romans 5:1-5, but we're reading out of the Message Bible, which I teach out of a lot. Much easier to understand. Go ahead.
Okay. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. That's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us.
Amen.
We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand.
Yes.
Out in the wide open space,
yes,
of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise.
Woo!
People, I mean, there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise, even when we're hemmed in with trouble, because we know how troubles can develop passionate
patience
in us, and how that patience, in turn, this is key, forges the tempered steel of virtue,
yes,
keeping us alert for whatever God will do next.
Mm-mm-mm. Let's address those points. The first one, I want to talk about the wide open spaces, because I've lived here in Tampa, well, Clearwater area, all of it, for 26 years now. And it was far different from Indiana when I moved here, and I had to get used to much more congestion, traffic, and all of that kind of stuff. And learning my way around Tampa when I was a brand new realtor in 1992 was kind of crazy, because without GPS, we had maps. And that was pretty crazy, trying to show homes. And it was all so congested and you could miss streets. They were so close together. My kids just moved to Texas. And when I say it's a big old wide open space, I mean it's a big old wide open space. And it is so fun to get around there, because it's like easy. You can see, you know, that's not something all the time at every exit. It's just where they live in San Marcos near Austin. Beautiful area. Yeah, it's got people, a lot of people, but the way that it's all laid out, you can see the wide open spaces just right there. You see it. And for miles around, it's just empty space. And I like that metaphor, because when we're walking in the wide open spaces of God's love, we know that no matter what tries to, you know, hem us in and bind us up by pressure, by circumstances, when we're walking in the wide open spaces of God's love and his patience can develop in us, and we know that God's got us no matter where we're going. Talk to us, Nan. I love that metaphor in the Message Bible. Love it. Romans 5:1-5.
What came to mind, a Bible study that I'm doing, on the front cover, it has like a pasture, and it has a young woman with her hands stretched out like this, free, I'm free, you know? And it was just, it's such a beautiful sight, you know? And that's the way that we also can be.
Oh, absolutely. That's what God wants us. That's how he wants us to be. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, you were talking about the Texas wide open spaces. Is that's kind of the way it is in Michigan. You know, you'll be driving for miles and all there is trees and land. And I mean, there's not a fence post. There's not a, maybe a couple of interstate signs or whatever. But, you know, when he puts us out into the wide open spaces, it gives us an opportunity to not have one distraction.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's nothing to focus on. There's nothing to be concerned about. There's nothing to have anxiety about, because all there is just wide open spaces. It's clear. It's quiet. And what better time in a wide open space is to hear what God's trying to tell
us. Oh, yeah.
That still small voice is saying, okay, God, you know, here I am. I'm in the wilderness, so to speak. I have no dogs barking. I have no cats meowing. I have no horses neighing. I have nobody pulling at my, you know, at my apron strings to say, I need a snack. I need something to drink.
Right.
You're, God can have your full attention at that point to say, okay, God, what have you got for me?
Right.
Where do you want to take me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned so much from that revival in October about patience and about promises and about things that, you know, when I read in the Bible, I look about what all of these people went through for the glory of God. And I look to myself and I think, Betty, maybe you're going to go through that same thing. You know, you're going through some things right now, but you're doing it for the glory of God. And what better person to do it than me? Because I gave, you know, I gave my life to the Lord back in 1985. And I said, Lord God, whatever you want, I'll do it. And yeah. Sometimes it's been smooth sailing. Sometimes it's been, you know, the waters have been a little bit rough.
Right.
But you know what? My Savior's my life. He's my life preserver. He's my Savior. And I have to trust in Him. There are times when my faith wavers, especially in the harder times. And it's so refreshing to take a breath and not feel the weight of the world because God's carrying it for you.
And that's the whole thing right there is what faith can do. When we work on our faith, you know, Cindy Logan from our church up there, who's one of our radio contributors, coined this phrase with us on the air, what, 6-8 months ago, that she said, I just haven't felt very faithed up lately. And you remember that day, Nan? I kind of think you were here.
I was.
And what does that say to you, the faithed up and what Betty's talking about and where we are here in this whole thing of inheriting our promises?
Well, we just don't have enough faith. If we're not faithed up, we don't have the level of faith that we really need to have.
Where does our faith go? How does it leak out?
Well, different ways. We don't, first of all, read the Word.
Right.
You know. Faith, the Bible says faith cometh
by hearing
by the word of God.
Yes.
So we
yes.
need to read the word of God to
right.
have our faith increase. We need to spend time talking with God, mm-hmm. praying to God, praising God. You know, we mm-hmm. need to spend that time with Him. That's how you cannot be faithed up, because you're losing, it's kind of like a tire. You're losing your air.
Exactly. Well, it's exactly what happened. When I came back Friday night, my car had been in the garage for 2 weeks. Nobody had driven it. Went to get in it Saturday morning. All four tires, it said, were low. I had to go to the, and they said that's just from the heat and sitting in a hot garage and whatever, and it was fine. But when we don't use it, like I hadn't driven the car for 2 weeks, the tires lost some air, okay? And when we think that we can go to church on Christmas and Easter, or we can read our Bible maybe once every 6 months and still have faith, it leaks out, folks. It leaks out. It just does, because just like the air in my tires in my car in the garage in the last couple weeks, it just kind of dissipates because it's not being driven, and it's the same spiritually. Betty, talk to us about that.
Well, you know, you mentioned not only going to church on Christmas and Easter. Is how can you drive a car from north, south, east, and west on one tank of gas? It doesn't work.
Right.
You've got to keep putting power in.
Mm-hmm.
Because
good
the
point.
Power that goes in comes out.
Right.
So you've got to drink as much power in for the day as you possibly can, so that you can get through the day, so that you don't lose that power.
Right.
Being faced up is taking the next step. Is to be read up. Be so filled of the Holy Spirit, to be so enthused to have known the Word of God, that everything that happens, it's happening because you've prayed, you've praised, you've given God all of the glory through everything. I mean, it's just not it's not the bad times, it's the good times and the bad times, the mediocre times, the times when anxiety and fear has to, it's coming at you. They're coming at you from all sides. And that's
right.
When you say, I've had enough. God, you know, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the armor of God, through the word of God. You are my testimony. You are my shield. You are my faith. And it, you know, sometimes I've noticed in the last few days that when I speak it, it resonates to me more, because sometimes I can read and it just, okay, it went in one ear and out the other. But if I read it aloud,
yeah,
if I write it,
yes,
down,
yes,
if I listen to praise music, or I listen to, you know, the past radio shows, or I listen to my Bible app, it resonates. It
exactly.
Just, it comes alive. That light bulb comes on and thinking, hallelujah, you know, hallelujah. I've got a breakthrough here. I've got a breakthrough. And it comes through reading, praising, prayer, and understanding that God is almighty. He hasn't stopped being almighty. Just because you're going through something that you're not quite sure where you're going, he's already went through it.
Amen.
He's already fought the battle. He's already won the battle.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah. Go ahead. Amen. Oh, you said amen. I thought you said
amen.
And then.
Amen.
No, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So just like with Jacob, when he comes to this point where he's leaving his father-in-law's land in Genesis 35, and he sets out and he says to his family in verse 3 of Genesis 35, throw out all the alien gods which you have. In other words, let go of everything that's in first place in your life instead of God. Okay? And then he says, take a good bath and put on clean clothes. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show. This take a good bath is symbolic of confessing our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you're really wanting to walk in newness of life and you're really wanting to walk in the promises and getting your prayers answered, which is what we're talking about today, you've got to learn to take those things that have become first place and top priority in your life other than God and put them in the right place. And secondly, you got to confess those things that are sin in your life, let them go, put them under the blood of Jesus. And thirdly, in Genesis 35:3, you got to put on clean clothes. You got to walk in the righteousness of God and realize that it's not by our strength. It's not by our power. It's not by us being so perfect that we can walk in all the blessings of God and getting our prayers answered. No, it's because we are continually walking with the knowledge that God is first in our lives. We have to confess those sins that happen, those sins of omission, commission, things we do, things we should have done, we didn't do, all that stuff in our lives. And we've got to walk in God's right standing with him. And then we can say, as this song so beautifully says, I am free. am free to live. I'm free to dance. I'm free to be all that God has called me to be. Nan, what did God give you during that song?
I am free from what binds me. I am free. I am free. I am free. I will praise your name, for I'm not remaining the same. I will run. Oh, much. Oh, what a lift. I'll praise you for this gift. I'll share with all those around that I'm lifted up from being down. I am so happy with where I stand. I want those around to know I'm not down. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Woo! That's pretty good.
I am free.
Talk to us, Betty. Wow, good poem, good song.
Oh, yeah. And I said, you know, it's so wonderful to know that the freedom that we have is done because of Jesus who died on the cross.
Amen.
I think sometimes that we take that, we, you know, at Easter, we see that vision, we see that the reasoning behind that, but we need to take that into consideration on a daily basis of what freedom that we do have. And it's freedom to worship.
Yes. Yes.
Freedom to be who we want to be in Christ. And it's just, it still amazes me to this day, the freedom that we have to be, to worship, praise Him, to be able to go to a church of our choice and be able to worship Him, to be able to exalt Him and give Him the glory that He's so worthy of. And I thank God every day for that freedom.
Amen.
The freedom to worship Him and the freedom that He gives me to be able to do it.
Amen.
Thank you.
And don't you think Jacob, as he instructed his wives and children and servants here to get rid of the alien gods and to, you know, basically take a bath, put on clean clothes, you know, really walk in the righteousness of God and confess our sins and all that. Don't you think they felt so free? They had come away from the land where his father-in-law was constantly deceiving and causing problems and oppressing them. And now they're out and they're free and they're out on the place where they can hear God and develop their relationship with God. And Jacob goes in verse 6 of Genesis 35. He arrives at Luz, which means light, and Bethel, the land where this is the place where he had been 20 years ago, where he had had that first revelation from God. I think it's in Genesis 28 when he had left his homeland and the promised land and gone off to find the wife. And that very first night, God appeared to him. The angels of heaven walked up and down a stairway. Remember all that? That was a few shows ago. You can go back and listen to them on podcast here, tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcasts and then go down to Living the Good Life, which is the name of this show. Or you can go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and find these shows, www.bohmglobal.com. And go back and listen to that event 20 years before, when Jacob had been leaving, really fearing for his life, running from his brother, the anger of his brother, and starting a new life, going after his wife, new wife, and all of that stuff. And he was free the first night of his freedom. And here he is 20 years later. And after everything that happened to him in between that 20 years, realizing that he was indeed free again. Talk to us, Nan. And then we'll go with Betty. And then we got to get to station ID here in just a minute.
He had faith in God.
He had faith.
He had faith, and that's what, you know, we've kind of been talking about it. He had faith in
God.
He had
faith.
You know, and things didn't happen just as fast maybe as he wanted them to.
No, 20 years.
That's a long time.
And he worked for his two wives 14 years.
Right.
You know, that's a long time to not, you know, get the answer immediately. So often we get caught up in the details of the waiting where we struggle. And in our second hour here, we're going to talk about how faith and patience inherit the promises. We'll be in Hebrews 6, and we're going to talk about, starting with verse 10, we're going to talk about Jacob's life. We're also going to talk about our life, your life, and we're going to relate it to you. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. So hang with us for our second hour. This is always a two-hour live show every single Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern, on this station. We also do Facebook posts, which I haven't been able to do the last 2 weeks by being in Texas with everything going on with my kids, but we'll resume that this week. Betty, talk about that if you will, and you know what a blessing that is. I love doing them.
Oh, and I love critiquing them.
Yes, you are a great critiquer.
I am the great critiquer.
Yes, you hard
Facebook
to say.
Because it is, you know, that's my time to listen to the teaching. It's time for in the middle of the week, okay?
Right.
Is to have that inspiration of, first of all, hearing your wonderful speaking voice. And then also, most of all, is to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
And that recharges us. It gets us, keeps us going, you know, until we can get to church on Sunday. But again, it's like charging your battery. It's mm-hmm. like getting that burst of energy to say, oh, God, thank you for your word of God. Thank you that your word lives in me. And I am so thankful that you're able to do this because I think it reaches people maybe that don't have the availability maybe to go to church or have anyone who is inspirational in their life. And I think it's an inspiration for you to be able to do that.
Oh, I love it.
Through social media.
And we get a lot of good response, and we'll be back on schedule this week, Wednesday at 7:30. So check that out on Facebook Live on my post. And also then afterwards, we always put it on our Beacon of Hope Ministries post. And a lot of people share them, and we encourage you to share them with your audience. The more hundreds of people we can reach with the word each week, that's our goal. Nan, what a blessing. Just to know that God is seeing us through and has seen us through some very difficult times over the years in the ministry, but we're in a new day and we're excited about the new day. We're going back to a Sunday morning format and excited about that. And just a blessing to continue to have the show on Sunday and then the Thursday night Go Yard Show. And Nan, you and Betty both are faithful listeners to our Thursday night Go Yard Show, Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. on this station. Go Yard means hitting a home run. You want to comment on that, Nan?
Oh, I love it. I love to call in sometimes, too, because y'all
encourage
that. You do,
and that's
great.
Yes. And we do. We want you to call in.
You know, it's just a wonderful life coaching program that hits on all